Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Cult of WeWeWork, Adam Neumann. And The Great Startup Delusion is an investigative nonfiction account of the rise and collapse of WeWork, written by Wall Street Journal reporters Elliot Brown and Maureen Farrell. The book examines how Adam Neumann turned a small office-sharing business into one of the most heavily hyped startups in the world, attracting enormous investment despite weak fundamentals and mounting signs of internal disorder. Rather than treating the story as a simple corporate failure, the book uses WeWork as a case study in startup mythology, venture capital excess, and the risks of charismatic leadership. It explains how the company's culture, valuation, and public image became disconnected from operational reality, and how that gap helped produce a spectacular fall. The result is both a business history and a critique of the broader ecosystem that enabled WeWork to grow far beyond what its model could justify. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how WeWork became a startup symbol before it became a stable business. One of the book's central concerns is the mismatch between WeWork's image and its underlying business. Brown and Farrell show how the company was marketed not as a conventional real estate subletter, but as a transformative platform for community, work, and modern living. That framing helped investors and the public see ambition, where there was still a fragile, capital-intensive operation. The book makes clear that narrative power mattered as much as, and sometimes more than, financial discipline. This helps explain how WeWork could be treated like a technology company, even though its economics were far closer to property leasing and occupancy management. The company's rapid expansion created the appearance of inevitability, but expansion alone did not solve the problem that it was spending heavily to build an image of scale before proving durable profitability. The book is strongest when it shows how branding can distort judgment across the startup ecosystem. Secondly, Adam Neumann's charisma and the culture of founder exceptionality. The book presents Adam Neumann as the human center of the WeWork story, not because he was a visionary in the traditional sense, but because his personality shaped the company's internal logic. Brown and Farrell describe a leader who projected confidence, treated ordinary business limits as obstacles to overcome, and encouraged a culture that blurred the line between lifestyle, performance, and work. This mattered because investors and employees often responded to charisma as if it were evidence of competence. The book shows how founder mystique can suppress scrutiny, especially when a leader is skilled at turning personal conviction into a company-wide narrative. Neumann's public style, unconventional behavior, and grand claims were not incidental details. They were part of how the business was sold. The deeper implication is that startup culture can reward theatrical certainty even when it masks poor governance, weak controls, and unstable decision-making. The book uses Neumann to illustrate the risks of letting personality stand in for institutional discipline. Thirdly, venture capital, SoftBank, and the failure of investor discipline. A major strength of the book is its treatment of investors as active participants in the WeWork delusion, rather than passive victims. Brown and Farrell describe a financial environment in which huge sums of money chased growth, narrative, and market dominance, while tolerating weak oversight. The book shows that WeWork did not rise solely because Neumann was persuasive. It also rose because investors were eager to believe in a company that promised massive scale and disruptive potential. This is an important analytical point, since it shifts the story from one bad founder to a broader system of incentives. The book highlights how funding rounds, sky-high valuations, and competition among backers can create momentum that substitutes for due diligence. In that setting, the question is not only whether a company works, but whether enough influential people have already agreed to act as if it works. WeWork becomes a case study in how financial enthusiasm can harden into collective self-deception. Fourthly, a corporate culture built on excess, performance, and weak boundaries. The book pays close attention to the internal culture of WeWork because culture was not separate from the company's failure. It was part of the mechanism that sustained it. Brown and Farrell depict an environment shaped by heavy spending, social intensity, and a blurred sense of professionalism. That atmosphere may have helped create energy and loyalty in the short term, but it also made serious management harder. When boundaries between work, ideology, and personal behavior become loose, employees often struggle to distinguish mission from indulgence. The book suggests that such a culture can look innovative from the outside while hiding operational chaos inside. It also shows how a company can become vulnerable when leadership normalizes extravagance and treats discipline as secondary to mood or spectacle. This topic is important because it broadens the critique beyond one founder's conduct and toward the organizational habits that made that conduct sustainable. WeWork's culture was not merely colorful, it was structurally damaging. Lastly, what WeWork reveals about startup hype and modern corporate governance. The book ultimately uses WeWork to make a wider argument about the startup economy and the institutions that are supposed to restrain it. Brown and Farrell show that extreme valuations, weak scrutiny, and a fascination with disruption can combine to produce a system that rewards confidence long before competence is proven. The WeWork saga matters because it exposes the gap between innovation rhetoric and business reality. It also raises questions about boards, investors, and the media environment that often amplifies success stories more readily than it tests them. The collapse of WeWork is therefore not only a corporate downfall, but a warning about how governance can fail when prestige and momentum become substitutes for oversight. The book is especially effective because it does not reduce the problem to one moral lesson. Instead, it shows how modern markets can make irrational outcomes seem rational for long periods, until the underlying weaknesses become impossible to ignore. That broader diagnosis is what gives the book lasting relevance. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in startups, venture capital, business journalism, and the mechanics of corporate failure. Entrepreneurs will find a useful warning about the dangers of confusing storytelling with strategy. Investors and business students will gain insight into how hype, signaling, and valuation momentum can overwhelm basic analysis. Readers who follow Silicon Valley will also appreciate how the book connects one company's collapse to wider patterns in modern finance and founder culture. What distinguishes The Cult of We from many similar business books is its combination of reporting rigor and systemic perspective. It is not just a biography of Adam Neumann, and it is not simply a crash narrative about a failed unicorn. It is a detailed account of how charismatic leadership, investor eagerness, and cultural self-deception can reinforce one another until a company's public image becomes detached from its real economics. That makes the book valuable both as a cautionary case study and as a broader critique of startup-era excess. If you would like to support Elliot Brown, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.